didn't want to bring the Water Bureau's rates up as fast. So it's not a criticism. It's just we've got to kind of anticipate bad things can happen in the future, like LT2, with these deferred rate increases. So that's pretty much the items. And then we wanted to number one. Second page. Number one. One suggestion for information. Oh, yes, this is an important one. One suggestion for information regarding deferred rate increases be included in the Water Bureau's budget documents as well as in the financial plans. That was what the Water Bureau came back and told us was the financial plan shows what the impact of the deferred rate increase was, but nobody looked at it in the budget. And I think we definitely owe it to the citizens to do that. If we ever do that in the future, and I'm not a big proponent of that. Any questions?
Did you have any other comments, Gordon?
Yes, I do. I'm Gordon Feiner. I'm the public interest representative on the PERB. PERB had three further recommendations that we voted on and approved as a body. The first is that council should create a task force to review current Water Bureau and BES capital improvement program documentation and processes. The task force would make recommendations to improve public transparency of and accountability for capital improvements. The task force would include members of the BAC, PERB, OMF, the Auditor's Office, and BES and Water Bureau Management. The second recommendation is that Council should direct the utility bureaus to include members of the PERB in all phases of the budget process, including the budget monitoring process, or bumps, that occur after the budget is finalized and adopted. And the third recommendation is that the PERB endorses the three recommendations of the audit on spending utility ratepayer money, subject to the following qualifications. This refers to the auditor's report that was released, I believe, 2 months ago. There's the words new significant expenditures found in recommendations 1 and 2 on page 15 of the audit should be defined and clarified.
Well, I want to thank you for members of the PERB meeting with me to give me your individual and informal advice in putting together the mayor's proposed. I found it very valuable, and I appreciate your willingness to do that.
I, too, want to thank you. And also, I appreciate this suggestion to create a task force. I would suggest that you add at least one representative from the Public Involvement Advisory Committee, because I think that could very much inform the budget process ongoing. And I particularly noted that the comment in the recommendation that the five-year CIP doesn't contain individual project descriptions and justifications that would allow the public an understanding of project scope, planning efforts, and purpose. So, for example, in the financial year 12 capital improvement projects budget, there is one item for terminal reservoirs with a total cost of $370 million covering major projects such as Powell Butte, Kelly Butte, Washington Park, and Tabor. What I particularly like is your suggestion for the accountability form that would allow anybody to go online and see where each project was, what stage it was at, how cost-effective it had been. So there's obviously been a lot of thought put into the process here, and I appreciate it, and I hope that the commissioners in charge of the rate-funded bureaus will take you up on that suggestion.
Thank you, Commissioner. I understood the mayor was going to include those in as a budget note, and I thought that was a really great idea.
That's moving forward next couple of weeks. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Carla, can you please, how many people do we have signed up?
We have 45.
Okay. So we'll be doing 2 minutes each.
Okay, the first three, please come on up, are Joe Meyer, John McRae, and Cherry Holenstein. They'll be followed by Scott Fernandez, Alan Schrader, and Daryl Lloyd.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. Thanks for waiting. Please begin.
Thanks for inviting me. My name is Joe Meyer, and I love living in Portland because I can bike to City Hall and speak my mind. I was happy to spend the last 3 weeks researching the LT2 issue and especially how they're related to the open reservoirs, and I want to share some of my findings. The first is that our water is so good that we already meet the purpose of the LT2 rule. I spoke with Multnomah County Health Officer Dr. Gary Oxman, and he assured me that our current water is superb and that burying the reservoirs will in no way reduce illness. I also spoke with OHSU infectious disease specialist Dr. Thomas Ward, and he explained to me that the outbreak in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which prompted the LT2 rule, was caused when human sewage got into the water system and their state-of-the-art treatment plant failed. He called the LT2 rule an emotional, non-scientific response to the outbreak in Milwaukee and said that it is completely inapplicable to Milwaukee's pristine watershed. I also learned that, somewhat ironically, Milwaukee is still using the same treatment plant that failed in 1993. They got compliance with LT2 by promising to test their water regularly. Furthermore, the administrator of the Water Bureau, David Schaff, told me that if it were not for LT2, we would simply be maintaining our open reservoirs and maintaining the best water in the world. So my first realization was that the LT2 rule does not apply to Portland, and complying with it will not improve the quality of our water. My remaining question there would be, if there's no health benefits of burying our reservoirs, then what's driving this process forward? And that led to my second realization, that the Water Bureau takes its direction from a consultant who was actually paid by the Portland Water Bureau to negotiate compliance with LT2 and is now getting paid again for the work that he recommended. So again, my second realization is that a skillful consultant makes the plans for the Portland Water Bureau. And my remaining question there is, what did Joe Citizen get for his money when this consultant negotiated the rule for Portland? Which leads to my third realization called, Portland Water Bureau is heavily invested in manipulating public opinion. In fact, the chief engineer published a manual called Convincing the Public That Drinking Water is Safe, in which he explains, the public perception is formed by many subjective and emotional factors, regardless of the objective water quality. While other municipalities, I thought 3 minutes was standard.
Yeah, we have 45 people signed up, and everyone gets really grouchy.
I ask that you don't support the rate increase, that you instruct the Water Bureau.
Summarize your point.
I ask you that you don't support the rate increase, that you instruct the Water Bureau to halt all LT2-related construction, and then you work towards an inclusive and honest debate for sensible alternatives to these costly projects. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jeff. Hey. This is a chamber where the discussion of the issues is important. There can be no clapping, no hissing, no booing, no chuckling. Wave your hands. It's good exercise.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll stand behind my interview
thank
with Dave
you.
Leland.
Oh, thank you. Ma'am, thanks for welcome back.
Hi, Cherry Lambert-Holenstein. I trust this is appropriate because it was public knowledge. I'm truly sorry for your recent loss, Commissioner Leonard. My basic testimony is the same. I have nothing uniquely original. Stop the spending on the LT2 rule. No to burying the reservoirs. No to an ultraviolet treatment plant. No to 85% water rate increases. Commissioner Fish said on July 29, 2009, when you unanimously voted in the UV treatment plant, that we're fixing a problem that doesn't need fixing. At the time I said, that's impossible. You can't fix a problem that doesn't need fixing. Even when one fixes a genuine problem, there's always other minor problems that are created by it. In this case, we don't have a problem. What will happen is degraded water, increased water rates. And as I said when I testified at the Joint Terrorism Task Force hearing, we have myriad problems that need to be addressed, and why we're working on this is absolutely insane. And at that meeting also, I handed each one of you a flyer, a paper for the Hanford hearing tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., Doubletree Inn. They want to bring all the waste in the United States, the radioactive waste, into Hanford.
So I need you to stay on topic.
That is topic, because this is...
About
this is
the Water Bureau rates.
This is green,
sorry,
right? Green. Mr. Schaff talked
it's
about...
It's my job to keep everyone on topic.
Mr. Schaff talked about what a wonderful job he's doing of keeping our rates down, and that of all the utilities, our water is so much cheaper. Well, for heaven's sakes, it's gravity-fed, and we don't have a treatment plant. He also talked about lowering the electric rates. What's going to happen to electric rates when we build these treatment plants in Powell Butte and Kelly Butte? And I have a handout to give you to ask you to work for a waiver, which is permanent. And in the interest of all these tired people like me that have been sitting here, my legs are weak, so I want everybody to stand up that's in favor of not burying the reservoirs.
Stand up, folks. Show the public, because the public doesn't really know we're not going to cover the reservoirs. They think we won that battle.
They do.
They really do.
Thank you, your ma'am. Your time's up. Very well said. Appreciate it.
I got 12 seconds left, according to here.
You're actually 12 seconds over.
Oh. Sorry.
But that's all right. I gave you a little extra time.
Hello.
I was slow getting up.
You guys are supposed to represent the ratepayers, just to follow up on Catherine's point, and not CH2M Hill, their consultants, and their friends. So by representing us, the ratepayers, you would seek a waiver. Catherine's already stated about rate increase and the lack of the need. In this month's current issue of the Northwest Examiner, Alan Clausen has an excellent editorial titled Underground Reservoirs Inferior, Unneeded, and Costly, and blah, blah, blah. But anyhow, here's an excerpt is Living Water is an Organism, the best and tastiest water, which is what we get from Bull Run, contains microorganisms that must be exposed to the open air to remain in balance, et cetera, et cetera. Other cities, including New York City, are fighting the rule. We need, quote again, we need to pursue a congressional waiver from the EPA rule. We should not build an unnecessary and inferior second reservoir system because we've made every, until we've made every effort to get that waiver. And then finally, with regards to spending, scholarships and stuff, they're not within the water budget.
They're not in the water budget.
I know, they were removed, but all these little pet projects that you guys put in that we have to pay for that are not water-related, it's unacceptable. In fact, that's essentially fraudulent. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate it. Next three.
Are Scott Fernandez, Alan Schrader, and Daryl Lloyd, and they'll be followed by Dr. Theodore Sisongas, Nancy Newell, and Terry Parker.
Welcome. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, and that clock in front of you will help count down your time. Mr. Fernandez.
My name is Scott Fernandez. Quality of life begins with pure water. Many non-scientists look at the EPA LT2 science as a secondary issue until they get sick. Then they will want the help of science. EPA's lack of good science is why we're here today. Last year, the National Institute of Health identified benzene, radon, and formaldehyde as the highest risk chemicals facing Americans every day. If LT2 added treatment or reservoir closing is enacted, these chemicals will appear in our drinking water, our local microbrews, homes, schools, and workplaces. Over the last decade, the weight of scientific evidence and public health information has grown considerably and remains consistent with my early conclusions. There is no public health basis, benefit, or need for applying the LT2 regulation to the Bull Run drinking water system. Adding drinking water treatment or covering the reservoirs will degrade our water with toxic and carcinogenic chemicals. Why do we not need LT2? Because public health problems do not exist. There's no measurable public health benefit, and none of the EPA's public health benefits assertions have come true. Not one. Additionally, there's huge unnecessary capital expenditures that will create economic hardship on the community. So I ask the following. Stop funding all EPA LT2-related actions and projects now. Initiate discussions for extending all EPA LT2 timelines. And I'm asking for the Portland City Council to adopt and initiate the congressional EPA waiver process exempting Portland from the EPA LT2 regulation. The waiver is simple, cost-effective, and enduring action. It is a permanent solution and is not reviewed every 3 years. Comments from the past about not giving a waiver are not true today. The Safe Drinking Water Act provides for a waiver. We need immediate actions against the scientifically flawed EPA regulation. Place it as a rider on a congressional bill at no cost. We want a waiver, and we want it now. Thank you.
Scott, are you saying that there is a change in the Drinking Water Act?
The Safe Drinking Water Act does provide for a waiver.
Right, but has there been a change? You said now. Has there been any change in the Safe Drinking Water Act in the last 2 years?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure I heard correctly.
Sir? Nope.
My name is Alan Schrader. I'm Director of Operations for Derrigo Cooperative.
Dairy Gold is a cooperative owned by 553 members. We operate plants we have 13 plants operated in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Utah. Because of all these plants, we work with different municipalities. And for our Portland facility to produce the 32 million gallons we produce to date, our operating cost for utilities is already among the highest of all of our plants. We are slated for projects to move to 45 million gallons from this facility. And with these unintended results from rate increases, the expenditures just will not happen. We have 127 union positions. We have a $12 million a year payroll budget, and we get services from the city that equal $2 million per year. We ask the council to pursue your options and to stop this unneeded spending so that we can continue to operate in Oregon.
Thank Thanks, sir.
Mayor Adams and city commissioners, I'm Darvill Lloyd, and I appreciate being able to make these remarks today about the Water Bureau's budget. I represent a number of Portland area friends, including low-income seniors and people with disabilities in Southeast Portland. We're all concerned about the projected 85% increase in water and sewer bills over the next 5 years. I will skip most of my written testimony here. I submitted it to you. But I want to applaud your good work for the many water system improvements over the years, including the big valve replacement project and other improvements at Mount Tabor reservoirs. I have been learning about this from the Friends of the Reservoirs and other groups in Portland, so I'm not an expert at this in any rate. But I just want to say that you must join forces with us seniors, the Portland Water Users Coalition, the Friends of Safe Drinking Water, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, the Friends of the Reservoirs, the Friends of Mount Tabor Park, Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association, the Sierra Club, Oregon Wild, and don't forget about the 2004 recommendations of the Mount Tabor Reservoir's Independent Review Panel. So you still have time to hit the pause button, stop approving LT2-related construction spending, direct the Water Bureau to request a deadline extension for reservoir projects, and investigate legal compliance alternatives, and they're out there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it.
The next three are Dr. Theodora Tsongas, Nancy Newell, and Terry Parker. They'll be followed by Dan Bourbonis, Tom Fahey, and Phyllis Weyer.
Hi. Thanks for being here. Thanks for waiting. Doctor, would you like to begin?
Good morning or good afternoon. I'm Dr. Theodora Tsongas. I'm a member of the Environmental Health Committee of the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, and I represent them today. Environmental health science has been my passion for 35 years in university teaching, research, and in federal and state government service. One of my government services was working as a health scientist epidemiologist at the Office of Drinking Water, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, where I reviewed data and helped develop drinking water standards under the Safe Drinking Water Act. As a public health professional, I've long considered health and environmental regulations to be necessary to protect public health. At EPA, I learned that regulations had to be carefully crafted to take into consideration vast differences in water systems across the U.S. The variance has been built into the regulatory system for compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act for the very reason that one size does not fit all. The LT2 regulation appears to be trying to do just that, fit all water systems without considering individual watershed or water system health. We have an unbelievably valuable resource, and that is really clean water. As stated multiple times by public health officials and scientists, there will be no measurable public health benefit derived from the expensive treatment and storage currently required by EPA under the LT2 regulation. Extensive tests performed at Bull Run and in our in-town reservoirs have demonstrated scientifically the lack of cryptosporidium in our water. The costs for meeting current compliance timelines for construction of the new water storage treatment are extremely high and come at a time when Portland ratepayers are particularly vulnerable. Therefore, we are asking that you revisit the city's compliance strategy and change the policy on the LT2 projects. We ask that you reconsider the Water Bureau's construction schedule for development of covered water storage. The schedule for reservoir burial put forward in 2009 appears to have been submitted to the City Council without time for significant review or comment and hurriedly submitted to EPA. The timeline submitted to the EPA front-loads water infrastructure debt and exacerbates rate increases that are already burdensome.
So I need you to wrap up.
Okay. The true costs of the Water Bureau's proposed compliance plan have not been considered. The cost to the people of Portland of trying to live in an unsustainable system with loss of jobs, homes, businesses, equity, community diversity, loss of trust in government, and loss of the human right to safe drinking water. As a retired
servant. When I said summarize, I didn't mean another minute. So I appreciate your testimony. I think your point is well made, and you're welcome to submit written testimony to the clerk as well.
I will.
Hi.
I've got my 2 minutes. This is Nancy Newell. I'm a 20-year resident, and I want to really ask you to listen because we had a tremendous success story in New York State, and I would advise everyone here to consult with them on their successes in stopping these ridiculous projects. This is a multinational corporation, just like it was on the Sherman nuclear plant. It's also an issue which is local, which with the county. They bought it. They stood their ground. They were threatened with fines, with all kinds of things. That Sherman nuclear plant is not operating today. It was fully constructed, but it was not operated because of people of Long Island numbering 20 to start off and continuing. So the point being, you have every legal right not to do this. You have every legal right to request a waiver. Do so immediately. You have every legal right to fight this. If they're going to fine us, tell them to fine us, but we're not going to pay it because we have legal rights. And you keep researching those legal rights, you are going to find a path that you can stand on. Stand your ground. All the people in the audience, ask their city to stand their ground, the Portland Water Bureau, not to give us phony reports, and stop the influence of multinational corporations now trying to privatize water across the United States and doing it very successfully. This is putting a noose on our neck economically. If you can't recognize that, Enron, I tried to warn everybody on Enron. They didn't listen, so please follow through with that, but I have total credibility. The people that worked on it, the people in this audience have amazing credibility, a tremendous skill. If you need assistance on legal advice, we can provide it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Parker, welcome back.
Yes, Terry Parker, Northeast Portland. I'm here as a lifetime city resident. Enough is enough. The city council has been playing a shell game with water and sewer rates for years, skimming off dollars for their own special interest agendas. When Measure 5 was voted in, along came the law, the costly water runoff fees, in essence a rain tax now being exploited for invasive species removal and land acquisition. The expensive big pipe project was billed as the fix-all to control the overflow into the Willamette River. Now ratepayer dollars are being looted and commingled with other rated taxpayer dollars to fund bioswales that aid bicycle infrastructure for the freeloading pedal pushers who should be paying their own way. Water users are being fleeced with ratepayer dollars used for water houses, Rose Festival building renovation, neon roses, a sign patrol, and likely a lot more less than transparent project. As required by city code, all these ratepayer dollars should only be used for the delivery of water and sewer services, not a slush fund for somebody's latest fixation. Additionally, there's been a lot of bond measures that the city council has supported. All that does is add to the cost of living. And making any talk about affordable housing for the working class, just another shaggy dog story. In that as much of what the city council does today is all about dictating to the people and implementation of social engineering policies and fees, my suggestion to ratepayers is to save some money. First, don't rinse out any recyclables. Any responsible recycling plan should be financially self-sustainable. Second, use disposable dishes. The excessive controlled city garbage rates are the same whether your garbage can is full, half full, or nearly empty. So the only way to get your money's worth is to have a full can. In closing, it is past due time to hold the city council accountable for cooking the books and misappropriation of ratepayer dollars. The city needs to roll back rates and ratepayers for improper spending practices such as the widely branded gray to green money laundering schemes, then do everything possible to challenge the federal government about any mandates to build a filtration system and replace the exquisite and historical open reservoirs at Mount Tabor in Washington Park. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker.
The next three are Dan Bourbonas, Tom Fahey, and Phyllis Wire. Mm-hmm. And they'll be followed by Helen Kennedy, Dee White, and Floyd Jones.
We will be taking a 10-minute break after this panel for compassion needs of...
Mayor, and do we intend to take a lunch break? Are you suggesting that we do a working lunch?
I think we do a working lunch, yeah. We'll take another break, though, later in the afternoon. Hi. Please begin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. My name is Dan Bourbonnais, and I am the General Manager of Alsco American Linen. We have been operating an industrial laundry in the city for over 60 years and employ over 200 people and service over 4,000 customers in this marketplace. I'm here to speak to you about the decision-making process of LT2. As a business, that our main resource is the use of water and thus the cost of that utilization, I find it inconceivable that we would authorize the spending of nearly $500 million of ratepayers' money when we know the factual scientific evidence that Cryptosporidium organism does not exist in our protected and prideful Bull Run water supply and delivery system. In fact, when I first came to this city nearly 30 years ago, there was a movement to bottle and sell our pure water nationally. How times have changed. We currently hold an elite status of being the second highest cost city in the nation for water and sewer rates. And of the 60 branches that my company operates in the United States, we here in Portland have the highest costs in water and sewer, even though we recycle our water. Over my 30 years of running this business, our costs have dramatically increased year after year, mostly due to the big pipe and now the projected 85% increase in 5 years as a result of implementing what you are considering today. I believe the action of beginning this construction would have a dampening effect on the 4,000 customers that we service in this city to the point that it will be unaffordable and employment will be affected. We now have a legal option that you can obtain a variance from the threat or covering mandate, and the decision maker on either of these is the state of Oregon. I ask you consider the citizens and the businesses of this city who are ratepayers and do the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Ma'am?
My name is Phyllis Y, and I thank you, Commissioners and Mayor, for listening to me. I'll be very short, as everybody has pretty much said a lot of what I might have otherwise said. I truly don't mind paying my fair share for water. Clean water is a blessing. At present, it is a blessing provided with nature's help through our protected Bull Run. What I don't want to do is pay for actions that are not only not needed for the safety or cleanliness of our water, but that are actually destructive to the environment. We face the building of the covering itself creating pollution, the possible loss of the protective status for Bull Run, carcinogenic gases that end up in our homes, schools, and businesses instead of being vented, and much more. This project may create jobs, but they are jobs that do more harm than good. I humbly ask this council to work with our congressional people for a variance to this requirement that the reservoirs be covered. And I oppose rate hikes to pay for the covering. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, sir.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Councilors. My name is Tom Fahey, Director of Human Resources with Siltronic Corporation. As you know, Siltronic's been in operation in Northwest Portland for the past 31 years. We currently employ 850 Portlanders, and we make silicon wafers for the high-tech industry. As the largest high-tech company within the city, we are, of course, one of the primary traded sector employers, which the city has focused its economic development efforts on through PDC. All traded sector companies have the challenge of competing in markets beyond Portland. Commodity products like ours are always extremely sensitive to price fluctuations. So we continually strive to reduce our fixed costs to compete. That's why we have reduced our water usage by 24% since 1999. Yet despite the significant conservation effort, our net water costs have gone up 123% during that same time period because the rates have gone up 195% during that same time frame. We now pay $2 million a year for incoming water and slightly over $2 million per year for sewer costs. Now the city wants us to pay $3.4 million per year for incoming water by 2016. To this, we have one basic question. How is this helping us compete and create jobs? The water increases proposed for this year alone are equal to 5 family wage jobs and 34 jobs by 2016. We're talking here about long-term positions for Portlanders, not just short-term construction jobs that often go to out-of-state employees. We request that the city fulfill its role in helping trade sector companies compete. Keep your costs to us predictable and affordable. There is a way to keep costs flat and stable, not constantly increasing. The variance for covering the reservoirs is possible. Please make the request to the state, who now can decide the issue. Please reject capital cost increases that expand the burden of utility services on the ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Siltronic is the number one payer of water and sewer services. How many more are left?
We have about 25 more left, maybe 30. Okay,
it is now 12:18. We will reconvene at 12:35. We're in recess.
Pardon me?
Yeah, sure.
You want to come back to my office?
Is it a good time?
Yeah.
Bring it back.
No, I'm sorry.
And it's all over.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Ken.
How are you doing?
I'm good.